themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued meeting together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Let's pray, church. God, it's always good to be with the family. It's always good to be mindful of you for when we are thinking of you, conversing with you, in fellowship with other believers. God, we are experiencing the intersection of heaven and earth. So with this time of going through your word that you, Holy Spirit, brought, that you, Holy Spirit, are going to work through in our hearts, God, may we be so present. May we be so open for what you want to do in each of us uniquely and specifically. And may you be glorified through it all. Love you, God. Amen. So as a pastor, I talk to many different people about pastory things, as you would expect. And something that is expressed to me often is people saying, I want to experience God. I just want to experience God. I just want to feel God, people will say. And I respond saying, you can. God is completely available today, right now. But what needs to be considered is whether God is a feeling or a person. If he's a feeling, then he can perhaps be experienced in a variety of ways to achieve that feeling. But if he's a person, if he's Jesus, then he can only be experienced with him. And the reality is, church, we need to be with God to experience God. And how we do that is through, yes, reading the Bible and in prayer, but also being in community. Truly, if we want to experience the fullness of God, we need to do it in community. And what we saw from the early church is that they were devoted to being together. It wasn't just that they happily met, but they were devoted to being together. And when we think of this word devoted, what comes to mind? Maybe the ex-Navy SEAL Jocko, who woke up every day at 4:30 in the morning. That's devoted. Or maybe we think of Kobe Bryant, who would go to his scheduled 7 a.m. basketball practice at 5 in the morning, and he would practice for 2 hours on drills and shots before his other teammates arrived. Or maybe we think of 28-year-old Paul Johnson, who is currently running across America in 40 days, running with his legs. We hear these people, and we think, they are devoted. They're not half in. They're not giving 50%. Devoted entails devotion, full commitment. And this is how the early church went about their fellowship, with devotion, with full commitment. You see, their attendance, as we look through the scripture, it wasn't spotty. Every day they attended the temple courts. They were consistently breaking bread in homes. And their contribution to one another, it wasn't shy. They had everything in common, meaning everyone was doing well with resources together. Whenever there was a need, that need was met. You see, this right here is devoted fellowship, where people don't fall through the cracks, where every person, both leaders and attendees, lean in. And we got to give leaders a break. Relationships, you see, are a two-way street. If you're in church fellowship, you need to lean in if you want to be poured into as well as pour out. And when all parties are devoted, fruit will then be born. And isn't that what we all want? People want to experience God, and they will once they become generous with their fellowship, gathering as a body of believers. That's how we're going to see God move as we are operating as one. So we then must look inwardly. Am I devoted to fellowship? Am I being generous with my fellowship? Beyond being happy to just occasionally gather here and there, am I devoted to the fellowship of believers? For you see, the fruit of generous fellowship is properly reflecting Christ and becoming trustworthy to steward his people well. What do I mean by that? Well, verse 47, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. You see, when you are living a generous fellowship, devoted to others beyond yourself and the sharing of your resources, it's contagious. It's otherworldly. It's Christ-like. When the church operates in this way, the church will stand out in culture. It will be captivating. And this isn't a call to blend in with the culture so that you win favor. Recall, praising God and enjoying favor. Like, God is on the throne. He is exalted. And with that, you're also winning the favor of the people. This is showing the heart of God. God, who everyone truly, deeply longs for, they will see his heart reflected in our generous fellowship. They will see it and be thinking, that is exactly what I've been looking for. I want in. And beyond that, when the church is generous with their fellowship, they become trustworthy to steward God's people. Verse 47, and the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. It's not that the people were perfectly sinless. No one is. It's not that the people had everything all together. Only Jesus does. Rather, they were trustworthy to steward God's people as they displayed the generous heart of God. They were welcoming people into their homes. They were eating meals with others. It seems that the key to revival could be eating lunch. Isn't that incredible? Eating lunch could be the key to revival. One scholar writes that in the book of Luke, Jesus was either on his way to a meal, at a meal, or leaving a meal. Praise God. This is the Lord that we serve. The Son of Man came eating and drinking. Jesus was known for eating meals with others, that by being in close proximity to him, they may be both physically fed and spiritually fed. See, Jesus, he ate with those who were in alignment with his kingdom mission, as well as those who were antithetical. Yet, he ate with them, and with that, heaven broke in. So again, we must look inwardly. Am I devoted to fellowship? Am I generous with my fellowship? Is my fellowship costing me and leading me to become trustworthy to lead God's people? And me using that phrase might trip some of you out. Lead God's people? Isn't that just for pastors? Isn't that just for community group leaders? But the reality is, it's for every disciple of Jesus. For every disciple of Jesus is to be a disciple maker. The terms disciple, disciple maker, these are synonymous terms. They are not distinct from one another. Every Christian has the Great Commission over their lives. Go and make disciples. Everyone is a leader in the kingdom. So we must ask ourselves, am I generous with my fellowship? Is my fellowship costing me and leading me to become trustworthy to lead God's people? Beyond the Great Commission, beyond the example of the early church, in community, music is beautifully made. Here's what I mean. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. Paul writes this. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. What we see with this text is you can do all the right things, but if it's done without love, then it's wrong. You can do all the great spiritual acts, but if love is absent, then so is the Lord. So then what do we need to do for love, to love? Well, first, we need God. According to 1 John 4:19, we love because God loved us first, but we also need people. We need people to be loving. Without people to love, we cannot be loving. You see, it takes being with people to have the opportunity to be loving. And the most loving people, they tend to be known for being with people, right? Not those who are isolated, not those who are hermits. It also tends to take being with difficult people to become truly loving. Easy people are easy to love. The difficult people, that's when rubber hits the road. That's when fellowship becomes generous. Think about it. We all have those people in our life that are really easy to be with. It comes naturally to us. But then there's times you meet with people and the conversation's a little bit weightier, right? Or you don't get in a single word because they have so much to say and they don't seem to need to breathe. That's when fellowship becomes generous. Back to what I said earlier, in community, music is beautifully made. On our own, being without love, we are just a clanging cymbal. Exhibit A. Pretty annoying, right? Sorry, guys. I do spoken word on Good Friday, and then I hit the cymbal on the next Sunday, keeping you on your toes. You see, when we are in fellowship with others, playing different notes, the cymbal becomes beautiful together. Now, I don't really think there's anything cooler than watching Rachel or Bobby play the drums because they kill it. Can we give a round of applause for our drummers here at Branches? They're incredibly gifted, and it sounds great because of many beats played together, not just one cymbal the whole time. And you see, with fellowship of many different types of people, even those you don't mesh with naturally, you get many different types of percussion. We were never meant to do our faiths alone. We were always meant to do it in fellowship with other believers as the body of Christ. As Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 12:27, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." Something that I like to express to the youth group often is that we have a lot to learn from every believer, as everyone is an image bearer. Each believer, they uniquely bear God's image. They have a cool angle on his character. Some people are especially caring. Some are especially loving. Some are very encouraging. Some challenge you to greater devotion. Or maybe some of them have very thought-provoking questions that cause you, like, I need to dig deeper into this. As they are all different parts of the body of Christ, they have different expressions of bearing the image of God. And if we only fellowship with those who are easy to be with, we will miss out. I know that kind of sounds backwards, but if we only fellowship with people that are easy to be with, we are going to miss out. We're not going to get the fullness of God. And so we are to be generous with our fellowship. For in doing so, we're going to get so much more than we put in. We get to hear the melodies of heaven where every tune is played. Are we experiencing that today? Are we hearing every note played? Are we living in community, living lives of love, or are we living from a single note? Having discussed all this, I have some key principles that I want to leave you with today. First one is this. It'll be up on the screen. Fellowship with others is a key expression of devotion to God. This is how we operate as the body of Christ. We cannot be the body if we are isolated, if we are not gathering with other believers, pouring into and being poured into by. How we are encouraged, refined, challenged, and are given space to be generous is by being generous with our fellowship. And so we need to intentionally make space in our lives to be with others, being with others with Christ. Second, people won't get saved by your isolated faith. We need to do life with others if we want to see salvations. If we think of the kingdom of God as the most important thing in this life, as every Christian should, as it's the only thing that goes beyond this life, we need to do life with others. You see, a concern of many people is pushing their faith on others. I don't want to be too preachy, but that's not what I'm talking about. What I mean is leading well. How you act, react, and what you prioritize, these are going to be the pillars in your spiritual leadership. If you're acting like Jesus, reacting like Jesus, and he is your main priority, you're going to be naturally leading others to Jesus. Because again, God is what every single person so desperately wants and needs. They just might not know it yet. We need to live in a way that showcases the beauty and glory of God, giving them space to realize that's exactly what I've been looking for. A way we can do this is start talking about God with everyone as if they are already Christian. And it doesn't have to be weird, I promise. It could be as simple as, man, look how beautiful this weather is today. Praise the Lord. Man, how good is this food? Isn't God cool in giving us taste buds? Maybe that's more of a me thing. You're like, I would never say that. You can just say, isn't this food good? Praise God. You're like, I'm not like you, Austin. Or even boldly, when someone asks how you've been, share about God's faithfulness in your life, right? We're so eager to talk about our sports and our teams and everything else. Talk about the main team. Talk about the Lord and his kingdom come. Be like, yeah, I've seen God be faithful. Yeah, this is what God's doing in my life. This is how I'm seeing his goodness play out. We are to be in fellowship with others, with God. Welcoming God into our conversations, into our daily encounters. It's good that we invite friends and family to church, but we also need to be church and bring church to them. This is how we'll start seeing people saved, not by isolated faith. Third and final, the fellowship of believers brings about the music of heaven, where every note is played. And this is where our fellowship, it gets generous. Fellowshipping with people other than those who have the same interests as you. Different personalities, different ages, aesthetics, financial status. Perhaps they're dog lovers, perhaps they're cat lovers. From being with a variety of different people, there you will learn the different aspects of God that you would have otherwise never learned. As God's beauty is uniquely shown through all different types of personalities. And when you're fellowshipping with people of different ages and stages, then you will hear the music of heaven, where every tune is played and God is glorified by every note. Wrapping things up, as the body of Christ, we are to fellowship with others, with God. And what a beautiful spot you found yourselves in. You're at church today. Lean in. Today we're going to be singing as the body of Christ, joining with the choirs of angels in heaven, singing declarative praises to King Jesus. And afterwards, you have the opportunity to linger, talk with people, invite them out to lunch, or get food to go and eat it in the park. Welcome others into the plans that you already have. My challenge for you this week, church, is to be generous with your fellowship. This is a challenge that could be quickly applied as you're already here with believers. Take advantage of it. Use the momentum of what God is already doing in your hearts to be with others, with God. Now, as we enter into this time of response, will you all stand with me and take a moment and bow your heads? Consider this. Be it today or this week, who can you be generous with your fellowship with? Reflecting the generosity of God. Holy Spirit, search our hearts, and may you bring someone to mind that we can be generous with our fellowship with, welcoming them in, just as you, Lord God, have welcomed us in. Now, with everyone's heads bowed, I wonder if anyone here feels like they're going to have a hard time applying this message. I would love to intentionally pray for you. So if it feels like this is going to be a little bit of a challenge applying this message, I would love it if you can raise your hand just so I could be mindful of you as I pray. If anybody here feels like this is going to be a challenge, being generous with your fellowship. Thank you, friends. Let me pray for you all as well as for all of us as we go into this time of response. Jesus, thank you for your welcoming presence. Thank you, God, for your arms of love that are wrapped around us. And I thank you for my brothers and sisters who feel like this is going to be a bit of a challenge. Holy Spirit, bring comfort to their hearts. bring assurance to their placement in the family as a son or a daughter of the King, and energize them toward this goal of unity. Perhaps they've had just many hard relationships and they've wanted to separate themselves. People are messy. But as you've welcomed them in, may we reflect that, Lord God. May you give us all the capacity to be generous with our fellowship. And for all of us here, as we respond to hearing your word, Lord God, may we respond to your generous heart, for that's the only way we can operate. We cannot earn your generosity. We cannot muster up enough goodness to be in the right place, but rather we receive it, and then everything we do from there is a response to it. So we respond to your generosity, God, with declarative praises to your name. We lift up our hands to you as an outward expression of what we want to do inwardly. Give you our hearts, give you our attention, our devotion, Lord God. We want to be devoted to you. So may this time of worship, this time together as the body of church, may it kickstart that for the rest of this week of devoted, of leaning in, of responding to your generosity, Lord God. You are worthy to be praised. We exalt you on the throne. May you be glorified. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.